Yeah, well, I know. So for everybody online, my name is Roberto. I'm the director of worship here. Good morning, everybody. So just a little insight. This is such a busy season. You know, and this message of peace that pastor's bringing is so important. Donna will tell you, and those that know me will let you know that I've been a little frazzled this morning because I forgot an entire part of the message, and I got here, scurried, got it done, and now I'm praying for peace to settle my soul, because God's the only one that can do it. I get in the way all the time, and that's the whole measure of our lives. I think in general, we kind of get in the way of God's work, so I can't wait for Pastor's message. I heard it at the beach, and it's wonderful. I want to hear it again and again. We have a connection card. I know all your faces. Go ahead and fill it out anyways. Let us know you're here. And if there's any prayer concerns, please, I mean, if it's prayer for your grandkids or for safe travels, whatever it is, just let us in so we can pray as a staff for you. Online, there, if you scroll down from the main page, you will see the bulletin and a connection card. So if go ahead and fill out that connection card, let us know who you are and where you're watching us from. That would be amazing. And lastly, there is a call to worship, and it's in your bulletin. I don't believe that, it's in there. The call to worship is up there. And so I want us to just think about this and just see, let it resonate with you. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in this hectic world. In a world where everything seems like it's going so fast, and sometimes it feels like it's coming at us. And there are moments where peace is what we pray for, we get on our knees for, and we thank you for that gift that you poured into the world, that peace. We thank you for your faithfulness, the hand that guides us through the days. So today we pray humbly with gratitude and love for you. And we say thank you for being the Lord of all lords and bringing the King of all kings here for us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You guys, please stand with us as we worship.
God rest ye merry gentlemen. Thank you.
God, we thank you for your faithfulness, that you're steadfast, you're fixed on your word and your truth, you're unchanging in changing times, and we can trust what your word says is what your word does and what you do. And so, Lord, allow that faith to strengthen us now to receive that word, that faithful word of yours that gives peace, and that this peace would go from maybe in places of our minds and deep into our souls and heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe seated. I Well, happy Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah. Yeah, we had a great privilege, honor. Thanks for letting us get away, for everybody stepping up, and for Will. And really appreciate it. We got to get to Nashville and Christy's side of the family with all our kids and stuff. So we had 37, four generations all gathered, and we not only celebrated Thanksgiving, but we got a baby shower and two birthdays of grandkids squeezed in there also. And, you know, Christy did an incredible job of just organizing and keeping tabs on everybody and even deploying people as needed, especially me. And she come to me, and like Bart, who was our son-in-law, had to fly, so he had to leave Nashville and go fly. And so she's like, Kayla's got all the four grandkids. She needs your help. You got to help her with the kids. And oh, but, you know, Hunter and Jenna, they really want time with you, and you also got to check on Jace. You haven't had any time with Jason. Jacob needs something. And oh, by the way, Dad's not feeling well. Please check with him. He was in his room asleep. And goodness, Mom is with the aunties. I don't know if she wants to stay with her sisters or not. Need to check on her, make sure she's okay, or she needs assistance to go or anything, or needs anything. And oh, by the way, you got to go to the store. We forgot some stuff. So what do you want to do first? And I said, nothing. I am on vacation. I am not the nanny, the butler, the bartender, head chef, and healthcare provider, entertainment coordinator. I am here for some peace. I am doing nothing. And in case you're wondering, that was my inside voice. Said that. Seriously, have you been there? Right? Like, life is just overwhelming. There's chaos, it seems. There's way too much to do, more to do than you want to do or could do in the time. And you just like, leave me alone. Right? I just want peace and quiet. The question is, is that really what God's peace is about? Is that what the Bible describes as peace? Just leave me alone so then I can finally have quiet and peace. Let's look at a familiar story and learn about God's peace and discover it together. So if you want to look at Luke 2, 8 to 20. And so in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told him. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told to them. So if you're taking notes, this is just an observation. Number one, it was an ordinary night that became extraordinary. And it's an ordinary night. It's the same region where there are shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now, maybe you are like me, and you've heard this story a lot. You've seen plays with kids and heard children's messages and all sorts of things. And I was always in this impression that this was not some casual, ordinary night. This was a night full of chaos and stress. But yet we look at a scripture and it says, the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. It was just an ordinary night. They were just doing their job, providing for the sheep, protecting them at night. Now, protection at night might have required a little bit more because of wildlife. But again, they're not stressed. This is their job. They've been raised this way. They're skilled this way. Perhaps they could be tired from the long hours. I mean, shepherds would go away with the flock, and they would have to journey for the food. So they would go away in stents for several days and nights, no showers, no nothing, just out in the fields 24/7. So they could be a little tired, and perhaps shepherds were also not people that were rich and were poor, and so we could maybe try to read into the text that we could assume their life was filled with, you know, the worries and concerns of life, of providing. Either way, though, the text says they're just watching their flock. They're not in fear. They're not in worry of their flock or their families. They're just in an ordinary day. And the reason I bring this up is that I would suggest that we tend, in the when we know a story, have heard a story, and we tend to like think about the traditions of the stories or things we experience, we tend to insert ourselves into the text. We tend to insert our chaos into a situation that wasn't chaotic. We assume that the situation had to be difficult and stressful at that time because often that's what we are feeling at this time. We assume since they're poor, well, if they're poor and they're working, man, that must mean they're stressed and anxiety because they don't have the things in the world that would give them comfort and peace. I mean, they're poor. They don't have all these things. So, of course, this must be incredibly stressful and anxious life. After all, struggling shepherds makes a better story, doesn't it? But it was ordinary. What made it extraordinary was what God does. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. While it's true that if you were out at night and all of a sudden an angel appeared, I think you might be startled, right? Maybe a little fearsome, but it's an angel, and that would quickly dissipate. But it wasn't the angels that gave them fear. It was the glory of the Lord that gave him fear. So B, if you're taking notes, the shepherds respond in fear to the glory of the Lord. The shepherds were Jewish, and they would understand the glory of the Lord, God's presence, his holy presence, his powerful preference is to be feared. Of course, they were brought up in those stories that we know so well, but God's glory, as it was revealed, it was right revealed in the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where his presence rested with his people, and it was in the Holy of Holies upon which a high priest could go there once a year to the Holy of Holies to do his sacrifices and things on behalf of the people. But because if that priest would mess up, the consequence would be death. They would tie a rope to his ankle in case he did and was struck and dead. In the presence of God, that they could drag him out, because for them to go in would be death. You remember the prophet Isaiah, when he had that vision and being in the glory of God, he said, oh no, me, a man of unclean lips, I'm like doomed to die. How can I be in the presence of such a holy God? Or Uzzah, I can't say his name right, is the guy when they were carrying the tabernacle and transporting it, it started to look like it was slipping. He reached out and grabbed it in an unrespectful way and died. The power, the holiness of the presence of God was feared. And not to mention, the Lord has not spoken directly to his people for 400 years. And so there was fear. For the glory of the Lord was there, his presence. And where his presence were, came his word. And the angels, the messengers said, fear not. Like, we come in peace. Wherever God's word is, the power of his presence is too. The glory of the Lord is in his word. I find it interesting as we read through Old Testament and New Testament, especially in Jesus' times, that kind of wanes away. But in these very simple times, God always did miraculous, spectacular things, right? I mean, this is a miraculous moment. And we see it continue. I mean, Jesus, the great catch, or the feeding of 5,000, calming the storms, all these different major things, raising the dead. And it always amazes me, yet, in our times where we have great, spectacular, miraculous technology and entertainment, God shows his glory through very simple things with his word. It's a simple word that has his glory. That's where his presence is, he promises. It's in the waters of baptism with his word. God is there and does the miraculous. It's in the bread and the wine with God's word. The miraculous happens. And God's miraculous presence is also in you, us ordinary people. That he does still miraculous and spectacular things, because his word that gives peace is with us. And the question I have you to reflect on as you come into this season is, are you a person of peace? Or are you a person of fear? Are you a person of peace that comes into a room and brings comfort to people because there is a strength in you? There is I'm not worried about the things of this world. I'm not overtaken by them. There's a contentment. There's a joy. There's a hopefulness that is in you that is just felt in the presence that you come. Or do you come like the rest of the world, carrying fear and worries, anxiety of the future, of all the changes going on, the things happening in your life, in our community of South Walton, or not to mention in the nation of changing the presence and all the different things that are going on in the economy in the future, or worried about health or what other people are doing, or even coming with worry like, what are you going to wear for Tuesday night? Are you a person of peace or fear? So I think, C, we lack peace in our lives because we fear the message of the world more than God's message. The shepherds feared and honored God's word and presence. They saw the glory in it, and they did not care about the messages of this world like we do. And what was that message? D, Jesus made peace with God for all people. Verse 10. For God, in verse 10, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." What a relief to hear that word as a shepherd. The shepherds were, they were the lowly shepherd. That means that they were the lower class, they were poor, but they were also kind of out. On the outskirts of community. Because of their job, they were out of community. They were, again, out for several days. And so they stinketh much. That's what that means. They were seen as people who did a job that was unclean in many ways. And so for the message to come to shepherds, that was a time that this is for all people. That was for them. This message is not just for the religious, holy people that put themselves up over authority as holier than them and more favored than all. It's not just for the powerful, the rich, the famous, but for all people, including them. I saw the movie The Christmas Pageant. Anybody see the movie The Christmas Pageant yet? Nobody. One of you. Thank you, Christy. Yeah, great. I encourage you to go see this movie. And if you go see it, I'll give you a little, what do they call that? A little Easter egg. An Easter egg is this, is that Christy played a part in college in the Christmas Pageant play. And you can guess what character she was if you go to the movie. And we'll give you an award if you can guess it right. But the plot of the movie is this. It's a setting of a little town and church that basically survives on the stress of the success of the Christmas pageant that brings everybody in from all over the place to this church that supports the town and the church. And this year is super special because it's the 75th anniversary. It's highly respected director of the pageant, although gets hurt. And she's unable to lead, and the duties of the pageant fall into the hands of an inexperienced, soft-spoken, not-so-popular mom. And that wasn't bad enough. The pageant is hijacked by the bad, the evil, the dirty, the rude, the ungodly kids of the town who destroy the town and some up end up in church and bullying their way into the Christmas play. And they all take major roles. And none of them have been at church. They know nothing about Jesus. It is a disaster in the making. Everyone knows it, especially the great church people who hate and despise these kids and what they're doing to their church. And they hate the director. But what they all learn in the end and what they all discover through this experience is the message of Christmas, that Jesus truly came for all. No matter what. It's that John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And 17, did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. The world, all people. This is the good news. There's great joy that is what Christmas is about. It's for all people, no matter what race, creed, economic status, church status, how far you are from God, how little you know, how you act. It's for all people. And what is this gift that Jesus brings? He brings peace. It's for unto us, unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's a baby. It's a human baby, yes. But it's a human baby, not like other babies. It's the one that's from the promised line of David, the one that's been promised a king that would come, not just rule a nation. He's a greater king than just a king of a nation. He is Christ. He is the Christ, the Lord. He is the superior ruler of all of universe who's come here in the flesh. Paul writes it this way in Colossians 1, 19-20. He says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Christ, this little baby that looks so innocent and helpless, is fully God. It's not just part of God. It doesn't need to grow up in God. It is fully God. God is fully present in Christ, the child. And through him, Jesus Christ, the God, reconciled everything to himself. In other words, there was this debt that was owed because of sin that had to be paid, and this child paid it, and therefore reconciled the accounts, and therefore he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of what? Christ's blood on a cross. And so the Word which created all things and brought life comes again. But this time, not just spoken, but in the flesh and dwells among us to live that perfect life, to be that ultimate sacrifice that we could not do on our own because of our human brokenness, who takes our place, pays our debt, and therefore brings and restores harmony between humanity and God, brings back unity and peace with God, and brings us into that right relationship that we cannot do on our own. This is the great news. And the sign of God's promise of his word that is being fulfilled is in this child and a baby swallowed in cloths and lying in a manger. That is the sign for you to go see, he tells them. The sign that is a revelation, a direct revelation of God's glory. The sign that reveals that God is a God of grace and love, of mercy, of unmerited kindness to humanity, that he cares about and longs to gather with and be with. And this angelic multitude acknowledges and honors that all this work is of God. And the God of the highest of heavens, from the heavens of heavens above, that we have no imagination beyond our understanding and comprehension, beyond any galaxies that we can see with any microscope, the God of all these things who plays with black holes with his pinky, the God who's the supreme Lord of Lords, King of Kings, it's a God who's worthy of our praise, who intervenes and steps into history to change it for all. It reminds us as believers of who we worship. It's not some earthly king, not some earthly organization or religion, but the God of all things, the God of creation, a God of redemption, the God who is worthy of our praise, who has given us peace by his work, not ours. And we are more fortunate. Not only do we have a baby, but more importantly, we have another sign. And number one, our divine sign is a cross. It's a cross, the great sign of God's divine intervention for man, the fruition of his plans. The cross, where God restores what was disrupted by man's sin, has restored our relationship. Right? Even the curtain in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. God said, look, there's no more separation. God has fully revealed himself and his child, and he's taken every barrier apart. That means no matter how far, how sin you are, how far you're away from God, you're not far away, too far or too sinful for his grace and his love. There's no separation. There is truly peace for all. In verse 13, and suddenly there was the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Or maybe you remember from the translations, to those from whom his favor rests. That little phrase has always bothered me. Because here we are, that there's this great buildup that this is for all, and scripture is very clear that Jesus came to die for the whole world, and he gives his peace to all, and yet then we have this little clause that among those whom he is pleased, or to those whom his favor rests, like there is this exclusiveness to his peace. It doesn't make sense. While God has grace and favor, the unmerited love towards all humanity, it still seems that there's this favor rest on only some. And so what does that mean? It means that God's peace is, yes, for all. It's available for all, but only manifest in the lives of those who by faith believe. By those who believe that he is the Christ. But those who believe that in this word and what he has done for them, those who embrace this divine gift offered through Jesus Christ, have this peace and therefore are ones who God is pleased, whose favors rest on them because they have had faith to believe in his word and what he's done. So what is this peace that Jesus offers? Jesus is a gift, gives a gift of peace to us. What is this gift? Well, Jesus leans into it. He says, look, this is our memory verse, just read together. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus came to bring this peace, and he gives us this peace. He says, look, I'm leaving this gift for you. This is why life culminated, to be able to give you this gift of peace that would be full of your mind and heart, that would be totally of you, so you are not in fear, you're not in trouble. See, while we are to worship only God, as we've stated before, as this text points us to, that he's worthy of all our praise, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, fully God, at the same time, God commands us to worship, right? He tells us to worship. But it isn't at like we have to worship because God just wants to hear praise because he just needs his ego filled. We're not to worship because, oh my goodness, I was so awful, I have to do something to kind of reconcile the scale, so I have to worship in order to have his favor again in my life. We don't worship like we have to give something back to God, some duty of obligation, or out of a guilt and shame, or even out of this gratitude. We worship. The reason why God commands us to worship, the reason why we are to worship, because there's a God who wants to give us peace. God brings us together in worship because God is still at work bringing peace to us, because in this world where we have trouble, in this world where we have difficulties, in this world where Satan loves to come and steal our peace and destroy the wholeness that we have with God and one another, that breaks our unity, that gives us those that we love that we can even hate, the ones that the things we should celebrate we tend to defend and fight against. He comes to bring us peace, to keep us in the peace, that nothing will separate and divide us. You don't have to confess your sins to be forgiven. God has already forgiven you in Jesus Christ. That confession is for you, so the peace can be restored in your head and your heart, that you don't carry those burdens around of guilt and shame and unforgiveness. So what is this peace that Jesus gives? The story really shares three parts of peace. F, Jesus' peace gives us security. It gives us security. Verse 15, 16a, it says, whenever the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. So God of grace and love and to humanity, what does he do? He makes himself known. He reveals himself to his word. He proclaims this word to them. And the word proclaimed fills them with such great peace that they say, we got to go. We got to go see this. We got to see this sign. And so they leave in haste. Haste means to is excessive speed, urgency. Look, they did it so fast, they didn't even make a plan. Nobody did a Google map and said, how far is it and what's the best route? Or do we have enough provisions for the ride? That's one of my rules. If we take a long trip, I want provisions, right? I need snacks. Nobody asked that. No one sat there and said, let's count the cost of this trip. They didn't even sit there and go, hey, we have a bunch of sheep out here, so Bubba needs to stay back. No. They didn't even cast lots. They all said, we're leaving everything. Our whole livelihood is out here. Their whole future is out here. And they left it all. And they went. I mean, it's an image, I think, that kind of parallels the shepherd in Luke 15. And what does the good shepherd do? He leaves the 99 to go out for the one. They left their 99 for the one, not that was lost, but the one who came to save the lost, the Prince of Peace. See, God's peace gives us security to go where God is calling us. See, every one of you in your life, you have a neat calling from God. He's created you to fulfill that calling that only you can fulfill. And that calling comes through God, through the Holy Spirit. As he calls you in a baptism to be his child, but he calls you on mission. And he's designed you and created you with different passions and desires. And he's given you nudges through the Holy Spirit that says, oh, you know, I should do this. I want to do this. Or I'd love to see this. Or this I really care about. And I wish others had this. And we have all these dreams and hopes and things and desires we see in the kingdom that we wish would happen. We'd love to make a difference. However, so many of us are waiting for the right moment, when it fits into the plan, when all our ducks, or we should say sheep, line up, and then we'll say, okay, it's right now the pursuit is calling. But for now, until that all happens, you know, I need to work the plan. I got responsibilities, and this responsibility is the plans we have, and these plans that we're following that are building our lives that we're thinking are great and important. You know, these plans that give us a sense of security. It is security, but it's security that's actually a prison that's keeping us from God. It doesn't move us forward. It holds us back. See, God's security moves us forward in him. discordia that we know that he will take care and provide of us. And if he calls, he nudges, he prompts us to leave things and not to follow our plan for our ordinary life or just our plan for the day or our whole plan for our whole life. That if we abandon that to follow him in his calling, he will provide, he will take care of it. It's calling to trust him. The shepherds had peace. And such a peace that they had that they knew they could trust God with everything. And so they left it. And they went as they were prompted to. So the question for you is, what's holding you back from doing what God's calling you to do? Is it your plan? Number two, Jesus' peace gives us strength to love. 16b says, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. I find it interesting that Luke, who has the most detailed account of others, doesn't mention other people visiting. I mean, they're in Joseph's hometown, so you got to say they should have other relatives there. The room they're in, I mean, this is kind of an interesting, kind of a somewhat close picture of the room that they're in was a stable. It was an extension of the home. And it was there where there was heat, because in that desert climate at night, the temperatures drastically drop. And so the animals were brought in to the stable near the house where there was heat to keep them warm. And so they're near a house of people living there. And yet there's no mention of other people being there, except these shepherds, these strangers, who are welcomed and loved by Mary and Joseph. Any women would love to have somebody show up on the night you had a child the first time? No? Probably not. See, Jesus brings peace that enables us to love others, to make room for others in our life who we normally wouldn't give the time of day. He moves us even more to forgive others what have done. So I think it's no accident that everybody wants to gather at Christmas. Christmas brings people together who normally would not be together. That's what the peace of Christ does. It enables us to love others who we normally would not love and want to be with. Paul writes it this way in Ephesians 2:14. He says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles." Jews and Gentiles were against each other. They were fighting. And how to unite them? Into one people. When his own body on the cross, he broke down the walls of hostility that separate us. Jesus' peace breaks down the walls that separate us. What wall or walls of hostility need to be broken down in your life? Is it a political wall? A religious wall? A wall of anger or hurt? A wall of bias or racism. Remember, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God broke the wall of hostility down that separated us. He made peace. And the peace that Christ makes strengthens us to love, not as we want to love, not as we prefer to love, but as love as Christ loved us. Jesus' peace gives us also, number three, serenity. Gives security, strength, serenity to be. Serenity defined is the state of being, calm, peaceful, untroubled. In verse 19 we read, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." I mean, let's not forget, Mary is a young woman, a new mom, away from home, having her first child, with no doctor, hospital, family, home, crib. Her future is uncertain, and she's spending the night in a stable with animals that do what animals do, which is a lot of do-do. That's what that is. And yet she's treasuring and pondering all these things in her heart. What is she doing? She is storing in her heart God's word, a promise fulfilled in her. She's holding on to these truths. these words of affirmation that the shepherds brought. They said, this is what's happening to Mary. We were announced these words that this is for all, this peace that's come for all people. So Mary is taking into account what she has with God, not what she doesn't have in the world. This is quite a contradiction to our world today. She's looking at what she has, not what she doesn't have. Paul would say in Colossians, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Mary's mind is not on earthly things. She's not sitting there going, well, how many onesies do I have? Do I have enough onesies? Do I have enough diapers? Who got the wipes? Who got the diaper bag? Do we have the right crib? I wanted that brown one, really. I wanted this bassinet or this stroller. We needed this. Does anybody have a college fund for this kid? I mean, all these different worldly things we get so consumed about. And Mary's thinking about none of those. Her mind is fixed on the eternal things that's happening in her midst, that the God of peace is there with her. See, God's peace gives you serenity even in the storms and the chaos of life. When you have the news that's not good news, when you're going through hardships and challenges, when you're pushed and pressed beyond your ability and your means, when it seems rather hopeless, and yet there could still be peace. Paul says that, right? Philippians 4:7, you know the verse, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. In other words, his peace, his strength, his comfort, his love, your contentment is in you despite, it doesn't make sense because everything going on in your life, the world says you should be a mess, and yet you have peace. And what does that peace do? It guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It guards you from running into the most terrible situations, what we do. One thing happens, one bad thing happens, and our mind runs to the worst place. And when we have the peace of Christ, we stay in that moment. We don't run and worry about tomorrow. God's already taken care of tomorrow. God's in our today. He's already in tomorrow. And if he's provided here and he's with us today, I have what I truly need, and he will guide and take care of me in my future. So I can rest in his peace. I can guard my heart from all these terrible negative thoughts that will depress me and throw me down and separate me from that love. And God says, no, I want you to have this peace. I want you to realize you don't have control, but I have control. Because I am the God of the universe. Don't forget. And what I want you to kind of see is this. Peace is a necessary path for obedience to God's will. Peace is a necessary path to obedience to God's will. The Christmas story, the Bible, is filled with ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And the one thing they all have in common is they all had God's peace. And it's hard to hear God's peace when your voice is so extraordinary, when you're filled with all the worries and anxieties of the ordinary. Like when believers will not witness because they're filled with fear. I don't know if people are going to accept me. I don't want to be rejected. I don't know what to say or not to say. I want to say the right thing or wrong thing. And God says, look, let me give you my peace. You have God's favor in you. You have the peace of Christ in you. And the peace of Christ comes with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has promised to give you the words to say when you need to say them. And we're reminded it's not the messenger that makes the difference. It's the message. It's by God's word that things change, not us. That's where his glory and power rest. Or I hear believers say, oh, I can't serve, I'm not good enough. There's fear. And God says, peace, you are good enough. God has made you good enough. He's qualified you. He's given you all you need to do what he's called you to do. I mean, if you don't believe that, look at the 12 disciples. They were a mess, and yet they were the perfect mess and did his will. Believers don't want to give or tithe and their fear. I don't have enough. What if something bad happens? How would it happen? Or I have to have this in order to go. And God says, peace. Have my contentment. When you have his contentment, that means that I'm not focused on what I don't have. I'm focused on what I do have, like Mary. I'm focused on the things I have that are things above, the things that won't rust or rot or be taken away, but the things that are everlasting that truly bring peace. See, believers don't say, I can't worship regularly in this fear. There's so much to do. I need to get my peace and quiet. I need to go do my own thing. It never fulfills. Jesus says, peace. Come to worship. Let me give you peace. Come to me, all who labor and able to find rest. Psalm 23 says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to path of righteousness for his name's sake. Our grandchildren, they got Legos on one of our last days, but they couldn't open them, so they had to wait till they got back. So they were in a car with the Lego box very close to them for 8 hours waiting to open them. And so they finally got home. It was late, and they got to open them and play for a while, and then it was bedtime. And then they, you know, as they were playing, there was some arguing as they all three played together. But they went to bed, and one of them got up really early. And I was up in the family room, and they came out, like, almost tiptoeing. Like I'm not going to see them. They're right in front of me, you know. But they're all going real quiet. And I'm going, hey, where are you going? He goes, Legos. I said, did you even go potty yet? He goes, oh, no, thanks, Pop-Pop. That's a good idea. And he was so fixed, right? So he goes to the bathroom, and this is my grandchild of thunder. I mean, he's the agitator. He's Mr. Energy. He's always making a ruckus. But now he's playing with his Legos, and this guy is just full of peace. I mean, he's just in another world. And I was kind of admiring that for a while. And I just thought, you know, isn't that a picture of us? Like, we run to things of this world to get peace. And it's a vacation. It's a thing. It's a relationship. It's a toy. It's a bigger toy. We look for peace. And all the things that we look for peace that offer peace, they're escapes from reality. Here's the cool thing about Jesus' peace. It's for reality. It's for life now. It's not something, it's a temporary escape that tries to get you to forget about all your problems. It's a peace that's for your problems, that helps you through your problems. It gives you a strength that you didn't have, that gives you a calmness, a contentment that you didn't have on your own. It surpasses anything in you. That's the peace he gives to you. And what does the scripture says? God's favor, his blessing of peace is for all and is in all. And it's in those who by faith open the gift and use it. Don't miss the gift of peace this Christmas. It's not just a saying. It's not just on the card. It's here. And it's for life now. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift of peace. I think it's easy to overlook it, take it for granted, that you've made a way for us to live in harmony with one another. What a precious gift it is. And so, Father, we by faith claim that gift this year. Let it be in us and you work through us. Because we all have storms. We are coming out of a storm, we're in a storm, or we're going to be headed to a storm. It's just life. That's why you say over and over again, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be troubled. I have come and I've overcome the world. And here's the gift I leave you so you can overcome it too. And we thank you and we praise you. And we cry out to you in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power, forever and ever. Amen. We have an opportunity to respond to God and the peace that he gives us. That we can live and delight in that. That in our worship folder is an offering envelope, and we can bring our tithes and offerings to him. You can either do that here through the envelope or the QR code or the text to give. Those are all great ways that we can honor him and live out in this peace that we have. In your worship folder is also that connection card. If you can flip to the backside, you can share what you're celebrating today and also what your next steps are for as we follow walk together. And we have Ladies Advent on Tuesday night, looking for a special time to celebrate the peace of Christ that we all share in. And it's a wonderful event, and it'll be a great time of worship and looking forward to it. And also wonderful food. And Roberto is really looking forward to the food, he told me. So, but he will lead you all in worship. It will be a blessed time. Men of Iron Gathering, great place for friends and family to bring encouragement, help come out for that breakfast. And then the open house at our place. We love to be able to just open our doors and for people to gather when you can. Love to be able to share the Christmas time with you all. Also, you have next steps on how to serve for those different events that came up. Also, we need some help, especially with poinsettias for decorating. And also, you see our different venues that we're going to be having Christmas at. And so, Inlet Beach, we need help with, and also at Edwalline Beach. And our Christmas schedule, as you've seen inside and heard, I've heard some comments at 1 o'clock here, 2 o'clock Inlet Beach, and 4 o'clock at Edwalline. You know, I know some people have kind of like thought, well, you know, we just got moved around again here at this campus. And I just want to let you know that, like, for us to add another service, everybody is taking on a sacrifice for this. The Edwalline people are losing volunteers in order to be able to go back to Inlet and open up this opportunity. And yes, you guys have a sacrifice in order to allow that extra service to be in the afternoon. So I just want to thank you and encourage you that this is like an alignment, this little change in order to fulfill the mission for this time. And we're just going to try it for this year. And if it's not the best thing, we can adjust next year. But I want to acknowledge that we're all moving in order to help move the mission that God's called us to, that we feel that that's really been put on our heart to bring the word where people are and to make that possible. So a part of thank you for being flexible in that, I appreciate it. And I just pray continued blessings on our Christmas Eve preparations and worship together. So with that, we have a time of our worship to bring our gifts and also our connection cards forward and to the plates on your respected side as we continue to worship together.
Blessed be your glorious name.
let us rise and join together in confession as we come to the Prince of Peace, the God of Peace, to come and bring that peace, that unity and harmony in us together. Lord, we are fearful and forgetful. We look to earthly things to give us what only your peace can give us. We do not fear and love you as we should. We ask for the sake of your beloved Son, for your forgiveness, and to restore your peace in our hearts again. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you of all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.